This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show!
Spoiler alert! What Did You Watch This Week is a candid discussion about recent movies and TV shows, and it may contain spoilers if you haven't watched them yet. Listen at your own risk.
Salutations. This is episode 106 of What Did You Watch This Week?
No, this is Mike talking about episode 106.
My name is Mike. That smartass is John.
Yeah!
We're best friends.
Yay!
Yay!
Anyways.
We watch stuff and things.
I didn't watch as much as last week.
I didn't either.
I'm still just as injured.
Yep. Well, no, you're less injured now. They've removed part of the injury.
Yes, I had an operation.
His nose was not red. They did not touch the side of the funny bone.
Nope. I did not make a buzzing noise. Although I was quite angry when I woke up.
Yes, from what I understand.
I had an operation, and I'm still banged up.
Did you give it a cool name? You know, like all the Jackie Chan stuff that you like Operation Condor or Operation Hornet's Nest or...
I did not give it a cool name.
Operation Tallywhacker.
Let's just call it Operation Relief. That's dumb. Operation. No, screw it. Just going to go with Relief.
Works for me.
Anything else I can think of is too revealing as to what operation I had.
That's right. But you did watch a few stuff and things.
I did watch some stuff and things, yeah. Well, see, I also watched a lot of professional wrestling.
Ah.
Because let's face it, I love my professional wrestling.
I've heard that about you.
And last weekend. Was WrestleMania weekend.
Yeah.
So I had the Hall of Fame Friday, TakeOver on Saturday, actual WrestleMania Sunday, which the pre-show started at 5, the first pre-show match at 5:30, and the main event got over at 9:15.
Wow. That was a long Mania.
It was long.
I heard it was kind of okay at best.
I don't know who you talked to.
The same guy who pestered me all week asking me if I was ready for WrestleMania, and I said, I'm working. I'm going to be here. I'm not going to be partaking.
Ponytail?
Yep. PT.
he was wrong.
Okay.
It's one of the best WrestleManias in years.
Really?
WrestleMania 30, I think, is still better.
Okay.
But it's definitely in my... Definitely up there and in the...
What number was this one?
34. Yeah, 34.
You big kidder.
Yeah. It was definitely up there and probably one of my top five favorites. Mm-hmm. And this is the reason why. There was things that happened in the match that surprised me.
Okay.
Like, matches didn't end like I thought. Like, the people didn't win who I thought would win, not because I wanted them to, because... WWE has become predictable at times.
Right.
And so I just figured, okay, well, based on past practices or whatever, this person's going to win this. Yeah. So there was a lot of surprises. Matches that I thought were going to be the drizzling shits ended up being really, really good. matches that I thought were going to be awesome were just okay, but they had a great twist at the end. So I really enjoyed it. It kept my attention through the whole thing.
So was this particular WrestleMania, like, did it have a producer credit for M. Night Shyamalan or something?
Nope.
Kept adding in all the twists?
Nope. No, it didn't. But it just surprised me a lot. I say twist. Well, okay, only one twist. A guy turned heel who I can't believe. Okay, your hat, dude, what is up with it? You've adjusted it like 3 times.
I used to wear a hat.
You don't wear hats.
I don't wear hats.
Why are you wearing a hat to begin with?
Because my hair looks like shit.
No one can see it.
I rolled out of bed. Past. I know.
This is audio. This is not video media. Oh, Jesus, put it back on.
That's what I was waiting for.
Anyway.
This is why we're friends.
So, like, Shinsuke Nakamura, I thought for sure he was going to win, and then he turned heel.
Oh.
And I'm like, how the hell are they going to have a heel Shinsuke Nakamura? Because he's been so over for years in Japan, and now the 2 years he's been here in the United States, fans love him. They sing his music as he walks to the ring. I mean, how are they going to have a heel Nakamura? And when they interviewed him on Tuesday on SmackDown about it, because he's on the SmackDown brand, he responded with, "Oh, so sorry, no speak English." That's how.
Nice.
It was awesome.
Nice. I thought, like, a little racism thrown in there. That's great.
But anyways, so, and he does speak English quite well, but with a thick Japanese accent. But still, so that was pretty funny.
So overall, you liked it?
I was entertained. Even the match that I hate watched, the main event, Brock Lesnar against Roman Reigns, because I thought for sure Roman Reigns was going to win.
Because Lesnar's re-signing with UFC, supposedly, right?
He's fighting this summer. He's already got a match this June or whatever. So I thought for sure Lesnar's going to lose the championship to Roman Reigns, which I don't care about him losing the championship because he's never on TV. I just want fucking Roman Reigns to win. And then Roman Reigns lost. And I was like, woo! So, like, it was just, there was a lot of good surprises for me, and matches were really good, and even matches I didn't expect to be good were good, so.
Good.
I don't know. Paul and I both agreed. We sat here. We were very entertained the whole time.
Nice.
Yeah. Which is a hard thing to say about a show that is basically over 7 hours long.
Mm. So for those keeping track, this is shows that we watch between April 1st and April 7th.
Oh, good idea. We didn't do that last week. So, John.
Yes.
You know what I watched the majority of, apparently.
Wrestling.
So what did you watch?
I watched some stuff and things. I watched, you know, a few of our shows that are weekly, that are regular. But I didn't really, I didn't have a lot. I watched a couple of movies that I was very disappointed in.
Oh, I hate being disappointed.
One that I was surprisingly disappointed in, and one that I was expectantly disappointed in.
Okay, that's sounds odd, but not really.
Mm. But otherwise, like, it was just, it was the, oh, and I watched one new show this week, so.
Okay.
But let's see. I didn't even put it in here. Legends. I assume you watch Legends. Mike's reading his tablet.
I'm looking at my notes.
Oh, okay.
And
Legends of Tomorrow.
What was this one about?
This is the one where they hand out the totems to everybody.
Is this the one where they gave Dark
The death totem.
The totem. Remember we talked about how they make, if they somehow made Dark a baby face, it'd be
great. And they were working on it. They really were. They
really were working on it. But in the end, he still like was like, no, fuck y'all, my daughter.
Right. Yeah. How could you not see this coming? I care about my daughter more than anything else.
It's almost like that little, I don't know if it's a Chinese gimmick or whatever, but, you know, the turtle and the snake, or the turtle and the scorpion?
Frog and the scorpion.
Frog and the scorpion, yeah.
When the scorpion says, take me across the river on your back. And
yeah, I won't kill you. How can I trust you? Because I can't swim. So if you know, I sting you, we both drown and die.
That's right.
And then halfway across, he stings him, and he's like, why would you do that? He goes, because I'm a scorpion.
Yep.
It's in my nature.
It's just what we do.
It's what we do.
That's why I got this big old thing on my back.
Yeah.
I stab you with it.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, it was an okay episode. Apparently, this week's is the last one.
This coming week, yeah.
Yeah, the one that aired last night while we're recording.
So, was this week's one that was called Guest Starring John Noble?
Yes.
So, I thought that was stupid. I'm like, what kind of title is that? Did someone screw it up?
God. It was a great twist.
Like, when I saw it on Wikipedia, I thought someone screwed with the title. And then when I watched it on the CW10 app, and it was like, oh, that's the actual title. And then it's because they had John Noble.
Because he sounds an awful lot like Mollus, doesn't he?
They went to the Lord of the Rings set to have him record some lines of him, you know. That was great.
That was great. It was much better than the Grodd takes on Barack Obama thing. That was just dumb. That whatever.
Oh, God, that was extremely dumb. And then Sarah talking to Barry for advice. Mm,
yeah. And then wiping his memory. But, yeah, seeing the guest starring John Noble was hilarious. I loved it. And, you know, basically they decided Amaya – decided, oh, I'm going to save my village because I see myself as an old woman who doesn't remember Nate. So obviously I had my memory wiped by my own choice. But I'm going to make my daughter or granddaughter or whatever it was take the totem so that we can save the village and change history because, damn it, I'm more important than history.
Yeah, screw history. Even though I know causing all of these rifts and time aberrations or whatever they call them Like, I know it's bad.
Yeah.
I'm just going to do it anyways.
Yep. And so she does. And then they're like, well, wait a minute. Hold on. Maybe we should do that, because if we cause aberrations, the mollusk gets let out of his cage, and then we could defeat him instead of just imprisoning him.
Yeah.
We also learn that Eva is, like, what, the 13th Eva? Like, Rip.
Ava.
Yeah,
she's Ava. She's, like, 13th Ava.
Yeah.
And Rip's pulled broad Rip's in.
Killed off, like, many of them and just keeps getting new ones. And he's like, but you're really good. And he's like, he's trying to be genuine, but she's like, I'm not even your first choice. I'm, like, the 13th. Yeah.
Yep.
And then everybody gets a totem just so that they can round out the crew. It wasn't even like, you know, steel. He's like, well, you know, Earth is kind of a mineral like steel is, so maybe I should have that. And Ray's like, actually, steel's a polymer of two different elements. And they're like, here, just take this and take this, and let's all have different, you know, totems so that we got them. Dumb.
It was dumb. Because isn't a totem supposed to be bonding with someone or have a connection? Like when they gave Rory the fire totem.
Really made sense.
Clearly had a connection. The other ones, they just, like you said, oh, it's Halloween. Happy Halloween.
Right, exactly.
Have a totem. Yep. You get a totem, and you get a totem.
Why was the Earth totem still on that giant chain?
Yeah, you think they could have fixed that one.
Yeah, just break the chain off, hang it around like a rope or something, you know.
Something less.
Looked really dumb.
Something a little bit more classy.
I did like their idea, though. It was kind of funny, the whole guest star John Noble and then having Ray shrink down and play the speakers in her ear, you know. Yeah. I listen to me now. She's like, oh, he's talking to me. Really? What's he saying?
I did like how Dark, though, even though he was trying to save his daughter, he still felt bad.
Yes.
He seemed to feel bad for what he was doing.
Yep. Do you think she's dead? Like, Mollusk kind of ripped her apart as he came out in demon form.
Yes, I think so.
Yeah.
I can't see how she's savable.
Yeah.
Well, you never know.
It's a comic book
show. But I can't see how she's savable.
Speaking of savable, what's his name? Stephen Amell said that in the sixth season of Arrow, since they've been renewed, by the way, all these CW shows were renewed, he said that they're going to do something that they can't undo. Right in the beginning, they're going to do something that they can't undo, and the show's going to have to move forward from there. And I went...
You mean in the seventh season?
Whatever. Whatever the next season is.
That's season seven.
Yeah, whatever the next season is, they're going to do so. And I was like, what, they're going to get good writers? That they can't undo? Because right now, it sucks.
For me, hearing that Legends was renewed, I haven't seen anything officially that he's going to be on it, but the rumor is Matt Ryan's going to be one of the Legends next year as Constantine, obviously.
I really want that to happen.
So if I will, that would be very exciting and happy for me.
Yep.
See Constantine on the show.
Especially if they got rid of Amaya.
Yeah.
You know, get rid of Amaya, bring Constantine on, give much darker, more twisted tales for them to take on.
Yeah.
I'm all for that.
Me too.
Huge.
It would be really fun to watch a Constantine Damian Dark team up.
Oh, that would be great, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. If they could bring Damian Dark on board. Because basically, that's the thing too, kind of what you were saying. Yeah. Damian Dark's an aberration now. He wasn't supposed to be brought back to life. His existence is wrong.
Yeah.
So they could say, well, in the meantime, come ride with us till we decide to put you back in the ground.
Yeah.
I could see that.
Because the way the episode ended, like we had said, you know, like there's Mollusk is there.
Yep.
And they're all staring him down, right?
Right.
With Dark.
Yep.
Yeah. So we'll see what happens.
So we got this one episode that aired last night that we'll watch. And
yes, the final episode.
Of this season.
Yeah.
See what happens.
There was no Flash last week, correct?
Correct.
Okay, I didn't think so.
But there was one that aired last night, so.
Right. But we're not talking about last night.
No, we're not.
Then we're last week.
That's right.
All right. Let's see, last week, LA to Vegas.
LA to Vegas.
That was the episode with Don Johnson, right?
Don Johnson is Jack Silver, the owner of Jackpot Airlines.
Yeah. I like how Captain Dave is trying to talk about how he's this guy's just an everyman, and da-da-da-da-da, and he has this big grand magic magician style arrival and all the pomp and circumstance. You can actually hear how Captain Dave's trying to explain how normal this guy is.
And he's not at all.
He's not at all normal, though. I do like how mid-flight he finds out he's going to be indicted.
Yeah.
Because apparently when you make allergy pens at a peanut factory, people don't tend to like that.
Who'd have thought?
So.
Yeah, and he diverts them because, you know, he tells Captain Dave, we're going to have to go to Mexico. Come on, we're going to Mexico. You're letting me off there because all the FBI is waiting for him to land. And,
yeah.
Captain Dave's like, no. So he fights him for a while and then says, I'm going to go get advice from Ronnie.
Yeah.
And leaves the cockpit. And he's like, dude, you left. I'm controlling
the plane. I'm the captain now. He locks out the cockpit. Yep. Yeah. But of course, because his Jack Silver's motto is not minimalize, but underthink everything.
Yes.
Ronnie's like, oh, well, the code's just 1111.
Yep. Maybe you read my book.
Maybe you shouldn't underthink everything.
Right.
And then they take the plane back over and re-divert it.
Yep. And he jumps out of the plane.
Yes.
Which, the B story on this one was Colin was saying that he never takes a bet that he can't win.
Yeah.
And so Artem and...
And Artem is always... Well, it started out with Artem complaining how he hasn't won a bet in so long. He's
right.
In a slump.
Yep.
And that's when Colin's like, well, I never take a bet, I don't win.
Yep. And then so... And I can never remember the stripper's name.
Nicole.
So Nicole and Artem bet him.
Yeah.
They come up with something because he's like, I'm not going to take that. I'm not going to... So they bet him that he can't go the rest of the flight and only say 150 words.
Right.
And we get to see little bits of it. My favorite was when they came back and they're like, boy, that guy's spilling that stuff. That really kind of set you off on a tangent, huh? And he's down like 60 words.
Yeah, he goes, you spilling that stuff on that guy really put you on an apology tangent, didn't it?
That's right. And he's down like 60 words. And he ended up losing the bet because he said out loud, that man's about to jump out of the plane.
He's the only one that noticed, and and he was out of words.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. I also like how they got, like, Bernard and Ronnie and everything and Captain Dave to, be on their side against Colin.
Goad him into saying more stuff.
Yeah.
He just said Latin. Does that count? Oh, it counts twice as much.
Oh, you're out of words now, buddy.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, man. What a great show.
It really is. It's just funny and happy-go-lucky, if you will. And
yep. Yeah. It's... There's a few of them on like that. There's that one. There's Superstore. Brooklyn Nine-Nine. I don't think you watch that one.
I've seen a couple episodes, but I haven't gotten sucked
in. It's very similar to this kind of thing. I like it for that. But yeah, I enjoyed it. I continue to enjoy it.
It's like Superstore this week.
Local Vendors Day.
And it's just like Local Vendors Day. Like, why would a store do that? It's Cloud9's way of giving back to all those places they shut down.
Yeah, all the people that they're crushing out of business. Yeah.
And I like how, not Bernard, but Glenn.
Oh, no, Garrett.
Garrett. Yes, I went with the other black guy. Anyways, I like how Garrett, cares nothing but all the local vendors, and he's making fun of, like, the $8 hand soaps. $8? I can get soap over there for $1.
Yeah. You know?
And then he sees the very attractive black woman selling her craft beer. So he wheels right over, and it's like $13 for this bottle of beer. And he takes a drink, and he's like, this tastes just like Bud Light. And I love how the whole thing, he's trying to get her to admit that it's Bud Light.
Yep.
And she refuses. Well, maybe your palate's not refined, and da-da-da-da-da. And he gets even Jonah to taste it. And Jonah's like, yeah, this is definitely Bud Light.
And he's like, but why does it even matter? He's like, because she's lying and I want her to admit it.
Exactly.
That's all he cares about is just that she admits it.
And this is like a running gag through the whole episode.
Mm-hmm.
And then finally at the end of the episode, she admits, fine, it's Bud Light, okay? I buy a case of Bud Light.
A keg
of Bud Light. I package it in these bottles, these fancy labels, and I sell it for $13 a piece, all right? See, that's what I thought. You want to get some dinner later?
Yeah.
What?
Like, all he cared about was being right. And then he's like, okay, now that we're beyond that, let's go on a date. She's like, no.
Yeah, I thought that was awesome.
This episode with the local vendors, Jerusha is there, Glenn's wife, selling some of the most disturbing and weird products, like hats with beavers on them and stuff. It's
like her hand-stitching stuff.
Yeah, she made that needlepoint for Dina.
Needlepoint, yeah.
Of a stork with Dina's head on it. She's like, because you're a stork and you're bringing us a baby. And she's like, oh, I don't want this in my house. I don't even want this on the planet. I think you should burn this. Just get right rid of it. But Glenn basically pressures everybody to go buy scarves from Dina from Jerusha.
He very passive-aggressively pressures people to go buy stuff.
Yep. Yeah.
And then when he gets called out on it, especially... not Suzanne.
Sandra?
Sandra, yeah. And then when he gets called out on it, and then people ask him, like, oh, do I really press you to buy? Yeah, like all your kids' stuff and any da-da-da-da-da-da-da. So then he doesn't want to pressure anyone to buy anything.
Mm-hmm.
And then, well, you know, his wife, her business suffers a bit.
Yep. She's not selling anything. So he goes right over the edge in the opposite direction. He basically tells them, you go out, you buy her stuff, or you're fired. Which you really can't do.
Can't do that. That's quite illegal.
Yes. Yes, that is very illegal. But he does it anyway.
Yeah.
It was fun, though. It was another fun episode.
Yeah, it was another fun, good episode. So Jonah finds out that Amy is dating the beer guy.
Yes.
And then
Jesus
feels obligated to prove that he doesn't like Amy, so let's go on a double date together.
Mm-hmm.
And then, even though no one's asked him, so that's his little B story. And that was a bit annoying.
And Amy's was more annoying because it's that stupid humor, you know.
Oh, yeah.
She has to get into her Latino roots because she's like, the guy is Latino. And she asks everybody, she's like, what do you think of when you think of me? And she wants them to say, oh, you're the Latino one. And they're all like, oh, you're the angry one. You're the bossy one. You're the asshole one, you know. Yeah. She's like, no, I'm the Latino one. They're like, really?
Yeah, because there was something that he, like, maybe food or something like that, that he had said, let's go do this, which was a typical, I guess, Latin thing.
Yeah.
And she was like, And so he's like, be careful. Take away your Latina card.
Yeah.
So then she has to prove to him that she can. So she starts going, like, stereotypical over the top with Poppy and speaking, you know, Spanglish and on and on.
She knows some of, but not like him.
And then he just starts ripping it off.
Mm-hmm.
And then now, of course, she's too embarrassed to say anything. So they have whole conversations, make plans. In Spanish, she has no idea what's happening.
Yeah, he's like, great, I'll see you later. And she's like, I don't know what I agreed to. So everyone's trying to do, like, Google Translate and stuff to figure out what he asked her to do. And turned out it was just go eat at this rib joint that he really likes.
Yeah.
So. Yeah.
He seemed cool with it at the end, though.
Yeah, because she kind of came clean.
Yeah, eventually.
But then he's like, you know, so wait a minute. So all that stuff about my mother and my family, she's like, oh, yeah, I got that totally. Yeah, I'm fine with them.
Right.
No.
Oh, well.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was good. Glenn tries to give some stranger $200 to go buy stuff for Jerusha before he makes everyone at the store do it.
Yeah.
And he goes to the next table over and she's trying to, you know, to buy all this candy. And then he's trying to very, you know, say, hey, maybe you should go over here. And that woman's just basically like tells him to fuck off.
Right.
Like they bleep it out, but she tells him to fuck off.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So I thought that was good.
Yep.
Good episode. So this is the final season of The Middle still.
Yep.
And again, like, I don't know how it managed to go this long, not because it's terrible. It's just not like, it's good, it's entertaining, it's just not over the top. So somehow it's squeaked by. Obviously the ratings are good enough that it's justified its existence.
Yep.
They keep doing the will they, won't they relationship thing with Sean and daughter, what's her name? Can't think of it. That's fine. They're still just teasing that.
Sue,
thank you. I'm sure by the end of the season.
I thought he was gay.
No, Sean's not. Sean's the neighbor's son.
Oh. And not her best friend who is obviously gay. And
yes, no, he is gay. He's had a crush on Sue forever. Sue basically didn't think she was good enough, and then once she realized that she had feelings for him as well, and of course everything keeps getting screwed up.
Gotcha.
Yeah, you know it is. And those type of things. But
yep.
That's pretty good. Yep. Did you watch Alex Inc at all?
No, it's sitting on my DVR.
I watched the second episode.
What'd you think?
It was a struggle.
Really?
Yeah. Basically, he's got a very important meeting with, like, is it Squaresoft that does the web pages?
Squarespace,
okay. So he has a very important meeting with, like, Squarespace. So it's him and his cousin and this girl that's obsessed with him that quit the job that they were both at to come to work with him here.
Oh, so it's a Jerry Maguire kind of thing.
I guess. And they both set up important meetings on the same date and time because they're basically having a, you know, who's got a bigger dick contest for being second in charge. And Alex, of course, isn't good at dealing with controversial shit.
Mm-hmm.
So the one meeting is with Squarespace, Squaresoft.
Squarespace.
Okay, I got it right. Squarespace about being an advertiser for them. And the other meeting is with some, I don't know, douchey guy about interviewing him. And, of course, they set him up at the same time. He makes them decide which one they're going to cancel or push or whatever and make them deal with it because he's got to go spend time with his family because even though this job is supposed to afford him more time at home, he's been home less and less, and it's affecting his relationship with his kids.
I'm doing the Home Alone hands to my face thing.
Yeah, his with his wife, with his kids, and his and you know, and his wife, and they're finding out that apparently Alex is the one that did everything at home with the kids, like helped them with their costumes and read to them and whatever they needed to do, and Mom did nothing. So now Mom's dealing with the stuff of having to be a parent, and you know, so that annoyed me, and then. When he goes back in, all right, so which meeting did we set up? Well, the one thing we agreed on is that both meetings were too important to cancel. Okay, great. So which one did you set up? Oh, they're both here. We just figured you could, you know, find – we made you a list of excuses as to how you can go from one to the other.
So they're doing the Brady Bunch take two girls to the same dance thing?
Basically, yeah. Guess what backfires?
Everything.
And it's stupid, and it annoys me. And, of course, now Alex is going to miss his kid's wax museum thing because of these meetings. So his wife FaceTimes it, basically, so he can see it. And his son's Eleanor Roosevelt. And she does her little spiel, and then he does some inspirational quote that Eleanor did. Which, of course,
triggers Alex to,
you know, it's something about, like, you can't expect the best from people or without giving your best or some shit like that. Mm-hmm. And so then he's like, let's have the meetings at the same time. And, of course, they do. And it all works out. And then there's a lesson learned at the end. And it was really cringeworthy. Basically, yeah. Yeah. It was really cringeworthy and really just like. I'm not going to say lazy writing, but like lazy, like just let's take all the cliche things we can do. Yeah, it was so generic. It just, yeah.
Yeah, it's not doing a lot to convince me to watch
it. No. I mean, I'll watch, and it's 22 minutes. Mm-hmm. I have the time right now.
Right.
So I'll watch another episode. But it wasn't very good at all.
Okay. That's disappointing.
Yeah, it is. You give up on Roseanne, or did you go back and watch
it? I gave up.
Okay. So I watched episode 3.
Okay.
It's basically about Darlene growing up on the show. She was always the sarcastic, snarky, wise-ass kid.
Mm-hmm.
And now she's become a pushover of her mom, and her daughter treats her worse than Roseanne's daughter, than Darlene treated Roseanne. But it's because she feels bad that she had to take her daughter away from all her friends in Chicago and move here to Lanford, and she's 15, and now she doesn't know anyone, and da-da-da-da. So, like, where you had...
So she's overcompensating.
Right. So you had Dan and Roseanne, and basically Dan was saying, like, I was the fun parent, you were the mean parent. So it was easier for us. Darlene's by herself, so she can only be one or the other, and she's trying to be the fun parent. So we have to deal with stupid teenage angst for a while, and her being, like... a piece of shit to her grandmother, even calling Roseanne a bitch.
Mm.
Yeah. And calling them all old hillbillies and this and that. And then Roseanne putting her foot down and then Darlene putting her foot down. And I liked it.
Mm.
I liked it.
Thanks.
Yeah. It was good.
Cool.
I even watched last night's episode of this already. And I'll just say I enjoyed that one too.
One thing that I did see on the first episode, and you gotta let me know if this is true, the one who played Becky?
Yeah.
Original Becky?
Yeah.
She looks ragged.
See, no, I didn't think so at all.
No?
As a matter of fact, like, she's, like, her and Darlene are the same age in real life.
Mm-hmm.
But on the show, she's a few years older than her.
Mm-hmm.
I actually think she looks younger than her.
Really?
No, I actually thought she looked, like, she doesn't look in her 40s like she is in real life.
Too. Okay.
Yeah.
Did you watch Deception?
I did not. Okay. I forgot.
It's a good show.
I forgot. I was watching that show.
Did we talk about the one, the R Heist, last week? Because I have two in my notes. We have the art heist one.
I don't think so.
It was good. There's not much you can say about this show other than the fact that they find a way each week to incorporate a magician and his tricks. And, you know, the most recent one was a psychic was killed. And we got to see the whole, we're magicians, they're psychics. They claim to have real powers. We don't. Yeah. You know, there's a rift between the two. But it was pretty good. You know, this girl was on the run and she would do fortunes and tarot readings and stuff like that. And the guy who was like super into numerology and Lucky Charms and stuff, and not cereal, but the,
right.
It's a good show. I enjoy the show. It's a good procedural. It's like Bull. I still look forward every week to watching Bull, even though it's mostly about the trial science, you know, rather than the actual crime or the trial itself.
Yeah.
But I really enjoy the characters. I really enjoy the show itself. So I look forward to that each week. Deception is another one. I really enjoy it. Instinct is okay. Yeah. It's I don't look forward to it as much, but it's enjoyable. You know, this week people were getting killed in almost like old school ways. Like the first person was shot with an old Apache arrow and they had bread stuffed in their mouth and they were hung up like crucified. The other person was like,
"Can I say cool without sounding like vicious?"
Yeah, you can.
It's kind of cool.
Yeah. It was basically a white knight kind of person. This person who felt that they were helping someone out by killing these people in ways that they needed to pay penitence for their crimes. So it was kind of cool, a little creepy but cool. Nice. Yeah. Did you watch any Krypton?
No.
Okay. I've watched the third episode.
Is it worth it?
Yeah. I'm still enjoying it quite a bit, actually.
I don't want to fall too far behind, so maybe I need to pick it up a little bit.
Yep. This week will be the fourth episode, but I say watch the first episode or two and see how you feel about it, but I'm enjoying it quite a bit. The third episode was good. It reminded me of Empire because, you know, they found the Brainiac probe, but the contents of it were lost. So essentially, the Brainiac probes work like the Venom symbiote, kind of. You know, it goes out, it finds a host, it latches on, and it that host becomes a conduit looking at everything that's going on this planet and transmits the info back to Brainiac to let him know if this planet is worthy of being assimilated or not.
Yeah.
So that's what we dealt with. I won't get into too many details. I think you should check it out. Even if you don't like it, that way at least you'll have an opinion on it. You could say, you know, I didn't like this about it, but I am enjoying it. Three episodes in and still solid stuff.
Blacklist?
Blacklist.
I watched the most recent Blacklist.
Yep.
I'm just going to say I really enjoyed it.
I did too.
I really enjoyed it a lot. It's a child bride.
Yeah, creepy.
Okay, so first of all, okay.
Yeah. The story behind it is creepy.
Which, of course, made me do some research. And, of course, they were right. There's some states have no age limits on how young a kid can be when you let them get married.
Right. You can't have sex with them unless you're married. But you can get married to them at pretty much any age.
Right, as long as their guardians approve of it.
Yep.
And essentially, the show opens with this guy, Indian descent.
Something like that, yeah.
Indian or Middle Eastern descent of some kind. He's a brown-skinned fella.
Yep.
And he's got something that Red wants. And he comes home, and he talks to his daughter. Those are quote fingers.
Those are quote fingers, yeah.
And, you know,
she's talking about her homework, and she's listening to her music too loud.
Hey, supper's ready if you want to have some dinner.
Yep.
Maybe a little bit later, da-da-da-da. And she's like, oh, okay. Puts her earbuds back in, and he heads off to his office and, you know, it's talking to Reddington about some sort of book that Reddington wants connected to Darby.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden the guy gets murdered on the phone.
Yep.
So the assumption is at first that some skinheads did it or Darby did it or this, that, or whatever, blah, blah, blah. And then later on we see another creepy scenario where this girl comes home and her dad, it's just like, you're late. Yeah, well, I had to do some stuff after school, and then I was hanging out with friends and blah, blah, blah. And essentially, he's like, whatever, fine. And he's been drinking. Why don't you head up to bed? I'll be up in a couple minutes. And so she goes to bed. And then he comes up and comes in the room. And you think, oh, you know, it's these are dads pedophiling their kids.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because he climbs right into bed with her.
And... But then he climbs into bed and goes to sleep. And I'm like, oh, that's creepier. And then we find out that at the beginning, the man making deal with Rangdon who got killed.
Yep.
Oh, no, that's not my father. That's my husband. And what?
Yeah.
And that's when we find out about these adult men that are married to these children.
And it's not like a cult. It's not like a group of sex trafficking or something. This is just legitimately something that happens.
Like this girl at the beginning, she's 15 years old, and her parents put her in an arranged marriage with this guy.
Yep.
And her parents are cool with it. And I love the fact that when the FBI wants to talk to her, her parents are like, well, she's a minor. You can't talk to her without our permission, without us present.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, she's married to someone. Like,
and they go on to talk about that later in the episode. Yeah. They say that, you know, these kids are promised by their parents.
Yeah.
So that part makes it legal, but then they're not old enough to make their own decisions without a parent or guardian, or in this case, their husband.
Right.
So their husband gets to make all their decisions because they're not legally old enough to make decisions.
Right.
And scary shit.
It's later on then. You see that the girl that we think, which we originally we thought were, you know, the one where the creepy dad and daughter, but then now you realize, shit, they must be married too. And there's something going on with school or whatever, and he's like, oh, don't worry, I'll write you a note.
Yeah.
And it's like, she's from her husband? And then now, okay, and that made me even think of this. And this is gonna be great. When my mom was 16... She got married to my brother's dad.
Mm-hmm.
They were in high school at Oak Hill. And she was a junior and he was a senior. And they were married while they were still in school. She wasn't pregnant or anything. She didn't have a kid for a couple more years, actually. But she just apparently wanted to get out of her house bad enough. And she was graduating early. And as soon as they graduated, they took off and headed to New Mexico for a while. Anyways, this is where the story comes from. My mom was 16. At that time, if you were under the age of 18, they allowed you to smoke on school grounds if you had a note from your parents. Okay? But because my mom was married to David, she had to get a note from David. And David didn't like the fact that she smoked, so he wouldn't write her a note. This is a true fucking story.
The laws certainly are weird, aren't they?
You know?
Wow.
And this was, you know, 1976, 75.
Damn.
Yeah.
Wow.
Right? Right? Weird.
So it was a creepy episode.
It was a creepy episode, yeah. And basically we find out that there's this whole, like, message form of these. It's a support group for child brides.
Mm-hmm.
And they fire off some statistics about how many people are married in the United States even every year who are child brides.
Yep.
Parents have permission and on and on and on. And there's this one person who they call the guardian angel. And essentially, they hire this girl to kill their husbands because they don't love them. They're being, you know, they're not in a happy, they don't want to be married to a guy who's in his 30s or 40s and they're 15, 16, 13 years old or
right.
whatever. And she doesn't accept money. You just have to refer her to someone else.
Right. Pay it forward.
Yeah, basically. Yeah, it's a really screwed up version of pay it forward. But,
and, like, yeah. The first guy, she just goes in and guns him down in his office. Like, that's mm-hmm. it. And the second guy, like, he works at a used car lot. So she, like, brings one of the cars up front, parks it right in front of his window with a bomb in a satchel in the front seat.
Yeah.
Gets out, goes, stands by, and, like, oh, I'm going to watch him blow up. But of course, wrestler's there to help.
Right, right, right. He's a good guy. So what was the B story? Because that was the A story.
The B story was, well, there were two of them. There was Aram getting his grandmother's ring with his girlfriend's birthstone in it. And they'd been dating for a year, and everyone was like, she's going to think it's an engagement ring. Oh, I don't think she's going to think it's an engagement. Oh, she's going to think it's. So there was that. And then there was also Red and Elizabeth talking about how basically she figured out that Red took the witness. You know, so her whole case against Garvey is gone because Red helped the witness get away. And he's like, look, I'm playing a long game here, and it's going to work out.
Basically, he admitted to Elizabeth that,
yeah,
I want what he has in that bag. It means that much more to me than anything else, than to staff, than anything that happened.
Yep.
And until I get that bag, then I'll do whatever it takes.
Yep.
I don't care.
Right.
And yes, I took your witness, but don't worry. He's safe.
Yep.
And once I get that bag, that witness will come back.
But...
or I'll kill Darby.
I was going to say, then you've got Garvey who's like, yeah, the witness is gone. She seems to think that the witness is still around. Let's work that against her.
Yeah.
So they arrange something where basically the they lure her into a trap.
Yeah.
You know, some guy at a hangar says, oh, I saw these people and they grabbed this guy and they were putting him on a plane and... they go to investigate it, and then he kind of, like, walks off to the side with a smile on his face, and they're like, oh, we've been set up. Like, it's the laziest setup. They're like, oh, we've been set up. Dembe comes in and rescues her, and they have a shootout, and
I think when Elizabeth planted the seed in Aram's bind when it came to that ring, because he asked her, and she goes, either she's going to think it's an engagement ring or she's not.
Yeah, if she wants to marry you, she's going to think it's an engagement ring.
And if she doesn't, then she won't. Well, what do you mean if she doesn't? Like, doesn't want to now, doesn't want to ever. And she's just like, well, she knows if she wants to marry you or not.
Right. So. And then she walked away. You know, basically just pulled the pin and walked away. And then
when he does give her the ring, he plays it down like, my grandmother wanted you to have this and da-da-da-da-da. And she's like, oh, it's wonderful. And she puts it on, like, not her married ring finger, but, like, the index finger or whatever, and then gives him a hug and says, I love it. It's beautiful.
And so now he's like, oh, does she not want to marry me?
Exactly.
Oh.
Yeah.
Because he's neurotic anyway.
Oh, big time.
Yeah.
But it was a good episode.
It was. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
S.H.I.E.L.D.?
Oh, yeah. S.H.I.E.L.D. was good, too.
Yeah.
I like S.H.I.E.L.D. a lot.
Yeah. Still don't know if they're coming back or not.
Yeah. A lot of time in this episode, I was saying... God, I hate you, Daisy.
Yeah, she's quite the bossy pants.
Well, she's in charge, and she's... Okay, when Coulson's in charge, and Coulson does something she doesn't agree with, and she wants to give her point of view, he always allowed her to talk, and
right.
He told her why it was stupid.
Yep. Or he'd say, you won't understand this yet, but...
Yeah. She has a boss, though... I've made the decision. Nothing else anyone else has to say matters.
Yeah. Yeah. This is what we're doing. We're going to go see the little girl.
Yeah.
Robin must be seen.
Yeah. Oh, you want to put her in danger? Yes, I do.
That's right.
So that's what her and
May
go off to do. And then in the interim, they decide they're going to fool Mac to get...
Because Gemma, Fitz, and... Yo-Yo have all decided that they are the invincible three.
Yeah.
Because Yo-Yo has seen herself in the future, and the fact that Deke is alive is proof that they make it to the lighthouse.
Yeah.
So they're like, we're invincible, we can't be killed, no matter what, ha! Yeah.
So to demonstrate this to Mac, she's going to go ahead, she's got three glasses of water and one of an acid, and she's going to chug three of them and not know which is which, because there's no way she'll pick the acid, because they're fine.
Were you a little bit disappointed like I was that Yo-Yo's the one who mixed up the glasses and she didn't use super speed?
Yeah.
She's like, Like, she's, why wouldn't that have been a...
She's still learning her hands.
Yeah.
She could have broken one of them glasses.
That's true.
You know.
Guess I'll give her some credit.
So, of course, she chugs two. She's fine. The third one, she chugs. All of a sudden, she has a reaction.
Yeah.
But it's fake to get Mac and let Fitz out. And, of course, as soon as they do and Fitz runs off, then Yo-Yo shoves him inside and then the three of them leave.
Yep. Now, we also, in this one, we had Creel, the Absorbing Man, who was given access to the Gravitonium.
Yep.
They were like, hey, try this on for size. And he touched it and it talked to him because it has absorbed that scientist.
It's absorbed two people.
Yes. Yep. So
that's why he kept talking about they both say that I shouldn't be helping you.
Yep. So he's having these voices in his head, but he decides basically Coulson's like, hey, you like Talbot, right? Yeah, I like Talbot. Okay, well, why don't you help me rescue him? And that's how he gets him on his side.
Yeah.
And so he helps them escape. Those two escape using the teleportation device. He says, as long as we don't do the vertical, you know, if we just do horizontal, we'll end up somewhere in the world. Talbot rightly says, the world's 70% water, dude. You know, do you want to risk it? But
I like Talbot in this episode because even though he's a little bonkers, he still kind of made sense at times. And he was also doing that, I'm going to say what's on my mind.
And then basically Creel faces off, you know, he's like, oh, you guys escape. I'll face off against dumbass there, the blonde chick. And, you know, she disobeys.
Creel's daughter wants to be the
Ruby.
Ruby.
And she disobeys her mom. You know, her mom's like, enough, stop. And she's like, nope, I'm going to throw this anyway. And he turns into wood and it hits him right in the chest. And he's like, yeah, okay, you hit me in the chest. I'm wood. Who cares?
Basically,
But yeah, he's still recovering from the effects of this gravitonium being inside of his head. And then we get the flashback, which bang up job.
Yeah.
Getting those actors to come back for that, you know, and we get to see back when Lash was a problem and, you know, Rona there was still the woman in the flower dress. And basically the gravitonium wanted him and sucked him right in. That's why we haven't seen him in forever.
Yep.
So
which makes sense now.
Yeah.
Also, when they went to Robin, she did draw, like, these three mountain ranges or whatever, and there was Coulson and evidently Talbot standing there. And so, of course, when they get zapped to, they're in the snow, and when the camera pans back, you see, like, the three mountain ranges, and so someone's coming to rescue them.
Right.
Because May and Daisy, they're trying to figure out where it is.
Yep.
And then there's three sets of coordinates that the Invincible trio have, and they're heading there as well.
Yep.
So
it was also interesting, and I don't know if this is going to be one of those ongoing feints, but, you know, Robin was like, he has to die about Coulson.
Yeah.
And then he dies.
Yeah, that's the other thing. He died.
The guy punched him in the heart so hard that it stopped.
Yeah, he died, and Trio brought him back.
Yep, by channeling the electricity through himself.
Is that how he had to die?
Exactly. You know, is that the whole prophecy, or are they going to keep fainting? And, oh, no, she said he had to die, so.
He died.
Yep.
And then Talbot, you know, you die more than anyone I know.
He really does.
He does, yeah. Oh, did you see the, I'm sure it's fan art, but there's like a fan art poster floating around of Daisy, Avengers poster of Daisy on it.
Yep, it is fan art. Yeah.
I hate shit like that. It's great art, but, like, it needs to say in big letters on it, fake. Or, like, those, I hate when you're on YouTube and you're looking for a trailer. Mm. You come across a concept trailer.
Mm.
Yeah, someone put a lot of time and effort to make this fake trailer.
Yeah.
Or none whatsoever.
Not a lot of time at all.
But, like, I hate those.
Yeah.
I hate those. Like, I saw one the other day that apparently came out last year on April Fool's Day, which is a Star Wars, a Netflix original series Star Wars trailer for, like, Darth Maul series.
Yes.
And it actually looked really badass. Mm-hmm. And then it had the whole thing at the end that says, you know, all episodes streaming May 4th, which that makes sense.
Yep.
And on and on. And then,
April Fool's.
Yeah. Fuck you.
Yeah.
That actually looked really good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. See, I hate stuff like that.
I'm sure you won't care.
Yeah.
But Legion came back this week.
Oh, you're right.
Yeah. I enjoyed the hell out of it.
Yeah.
It's fucking with our heads right from the get-go. Allegedly a year has passed since the series, since season one ended.
Yeah.
David thinks it's only been a day. Everybody else has moved on. They're now working with Section 3. They're now trying to save the world because the Shadow King is moving throughout the United States, throughout the world, trying to find his body. Mm-hmm. And where he goes, he leaves a wake of people who are catatonic, and all they do is sit there and clack their teeth like zombies. It's really creepy because they've got a lot of these people in rooms. Yeah, and they just sit there going...
Yeah, that's creepy.
And when you hear a whole room of them, and it's just...
It's really creepy.
But in true Legion sense, like, all of it was really good, and you're like, is this really happening? Is it... You know, he gets a visit from his girlfriend, who's allegedly from the future. And they had this whole thing about psychosis and how psychosis starts. And, you know, so you're like, is this really psychosis? Is this not? Is this really happening? Is this not? She comes from the future and tells him he has to help the Shadow King find his body. And yeah, it's fucking with me, and I love it.
No. I really wish you hadn't done the chatter teeth thing. All I can think of now is the chatter teeth monster from Hell of the Hellraiser.
Oh, yeah.
It creeped me out when I was a kid.
You're welcome.
Not really.
Sorry, buddy. Didn't realize I touched a nerve there.
Just creeped me out.
It's not like I said chud.
I'm over that one.
And I watched a new show this week.
How was that?
The Crossing. And the really weird thing about this is, and I don't know if this is one of those Berenstain Bear things or, you know, the Mandela effect. I swear to God, this show's already been on TV. I swear to God, I've already watched this. I've already known about it. But it's essentially this. It's a bunch of actors that you're like, oh, I recognize them. Steve Zahn is the sheriff of the town.
Yeah.
The woman who was MacGyver's boss in the new series, and then it turned out she was a traitor. She's in this as the FBI agent. Basically, these people show up. They wash up on a beach. Dead bodies wash up on a beach, out in the ocean, etc. There's like 100 people. And like 40 of them are alive and most of them are dead. And they claim to be refugees from the future. They said that there's a war going on in the future and they escaped here to the past to seek asylum because the war is ravaging everything. And they were just trying to get away. And I swear to God, I've seen it. I don't remember the specifics of it, but I remember this show premiering and being on, and I don't know why. Because it hasn't. This has been like I just watched the first episode, but the concept and everything, I was like, I already know this show. So it's really weird mind fuck for me right now. But so far, it's doing a good job of keeping me interested in what's coming next. Essentially, you've got these people who, like I said, they wash up on the beaches. There's couples. There's a kid.
I remember seeing the trailer for it.
Yep, and they say that, you know, the war has come and they've come back in time. Well, then, like, there's one guy who's like, hey, I want to talk to the president. He's like, because I'll tell you, we're not the first ones to come back. Some of these Apex, that's what the other people are called, apparently throughout the years, they genetically improved these people and made them the best that they could be,
yeah.
Smartest, fastest, strongest. So they're called Apex. And they're taking over the world and killing everybody else. He's like, some people came back before and they've integrated themselves into your society.
Yeah.
There's a woman who her daughter is one of the ones that washed up on shore. You thought she was dead because you watched her like they're trying to swim up to the surface. She throws her daughter up and sinks back down. But now she's alive, picked up in another part. She was in something else recently. But she seems to have these Apex-type powers because she can, like, leap really high and disarm people and stuff like that. The creepy guy who had the salt and pepper hair, the big nose in Burn Notice. He was an arms dealer, yeah. Kept coming up around. He's in it, and he's another government agent. And, like, within the first episode, this guy who's like, I know people who came back here. He's like, I'll meet with him. So he meets with him out in the middle of nowhere, and he's like, so would you be able to recognize these people? And he's like, oh, you're one of them. How long have you been here? And the guy's like, a lot longer than you realize, and throws him over the edge. And, so there's that kind of a mystery going on, you know, why are they here? What are they doing? Are they paving the way? It's cool. I like it so far. It's nothing that's blowing my mind, but it's fun to watch.
Cool.
I'd recommend it. It's only been one episode, two now, because it comes on Sunday nights. I'd recommend checking it out. All right. It's on ABC.
I'll check it out.
Yeah. And I think that was it for, like, the only other shows that I show on my list are ones that we haven't talked about recently, which were This Is Us and Santa Clarita Diet.
Well, I finally watched with the wife the last two episodes of This Is Us.
Holy crap! Listen, and ladies and gentlemen, we're finally going to finish up This Is Us.
And so the second to the last episode is all about Deja.
Yes.
And her mom.
What is it called? Like, This Wonderful World or something?
I don't remember. But, yeah. So that, I thought that was a decent episode. It's basically about, you know, Deja's mom having a kid and growing up. It's kind of like their own mini little version of This Is Us getting to where they are and the trouble they got in. And basically how her mom,
William's story kind of.
Yeah, it's like William's story. It's basically how her mom kept putting herself first and being selfish. And, you know, Pam Grier was the grandmother who was there to help. And then she died, which I knew she would.
Well, yeah.
And then, you know, how her mom, all the way up to her mom getting, getting arrested.
Yep.
With a gun in the car. And everything that happened with it. And so we basically learned to see how Deja grew up and how everything was so rough for her. And then how she went to live with Randall and his family. And then went back to his to her mom.
Mm-hmm.
And then we see how basically they got evicted from their place. And that's when they find them in their car. And that's when, like, the Las Vegas episode ended. And then we get to, let's go to the Randall's house. We're going to go to the Pearson's house.
Yep.
We're going to bring Deja and her mom here. And you guys can stay for a few days. Don't worry about it. I will help you get this sorted out. And, you know, and they have dinner together, and the girls are excited to see Deja, and they play Uno, and they watch Police Academy 2, and then it's time for bed, and Deja's like, can I go sleep in my old room? I'm like, absolutely you can. So she runs off, and then her mom's just like, and I said to Kate, I go, she's going to leave her. In the middle of the night, she's going to leave.
Yep.
Because you get that sense where she's like, Deja's better off here without me.
Yep, I got to bounce. Thinking of herself again.
Right, but. And, well, she's thinking of herself again in the guise of, I'm doing this for my daughter.
Yeah.
And then she basically says, tells them, I'm leaving.
Yep.
I can't deal with this. And that episode ends with, like, the stare down in the foyer area where Randall's on the stairs, and she's got her bags, and the wife is there, and then the final episode happens, and you're like, well, what the fuck happened? And then when the final episode starts up, the first thing you hear him say is, like, oh, not only did she leave, but she went before a judge and gave up all her parental rights.
Yeah.
And so now Deja's a very sad kid again, and there's a reason for it.
Yeah. Which kind of sucks. Yeah. But, you know, in the grand scheme of things, it's most likely better for her.
Yeah.
But holy crap, your parent who, like, you fought for and you've wanted to be there, and they're just like, nope, don't want to be their parent anymore. Like, in front of a judge, says, I don't want this anymore, and walks away.
Yeah.
That's going to be devastating to a kid.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I mean, I can't imagine how you'd react.
No.
And so, rightfully so, she's negative, and they're giving her her space.
Yep.
And I like how Ryan was like, I wish we had old Deja back. Oh, wait, no. No, I don't want Deja when we first met her, when she didn't like us.
Mm.
I want Deja, like, 2.0, when she did like us before all this happened. And it's like, you got to think, it'll take some time for her to come around.
Right.
Because it's not like she doesn't know who the Pearsons are or who they can be. She's just, and we know that she's cared about them in the past. However,
she's just dealing with her own shit right now.
Yeah, yeah. And so you have, then you have, Randall's wife's cousin, who's basically kind of went through the same thing.
Yep.
And so she relates that story to Deja, and Deja kind of comes around.
Yep.
And even puts on a dress, and she thinks she's going to go to the wedding, and the wedding that she'd called stupid, or this place is a dump, or you guys are a bunch of hillbillies, or whatever it was, I don't know. And everything's fine until Toby's mother tells the girls, oh, you guys look just like your mother. And then tells Deja, you're the spinning image of your dad.
Yeah, and that kind of triggers her.
And that big time. Big time.
Yeah, I undersold it.
Yeah. And, there's a montage at the end where you see, like, into the future. And you see some people's distant future.
Mm-hmm.
And you see some people's immediate future. And Deja's immediate future was taking a baseball bat to Randall's car.
See, I think that was happening at the wedding.
It was.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's why I said immediate future. She went right out. She took Jack's baseball bat.
Mm-hmm.
Went right out. Because they had established earlier in the episode how important that car was to him.
Mm-hmm.
Because he paid cash for it.
Right.
And how much he loved that car.
Yep. Yep. So there was a lot going on with that. There was also, this was the wedding episode.
Yep.
And, you know, the brothers were trying to fulfill all of Kate's wishes because dad should have been there. You know, this was her wedding day, and they knew that nothing was going to replace the fact that he couldn't be there for his little girl. So they were trying to get whatever they could, and then she ran away and was trying to get whatever she could with, like, the ice cream and stuff like that. And it was a little bit, again, it was a Pearson thing, you know?
It was heavy Kate drama.
Yeah, which she is heavy drama.
But it wasn't as heavy as I thought it was going to be.
No. because they were lighthearted at the end of it, but yeah. It was still, it started off as shit. It's going to be another one of those.
Oh, she's not going to show up for the wedding. She's going to run away.
And did it throw you off at first when you get interspliced scenes with Jack in there? And you're like,
yes.
What is he? Is he like a ghost or something?
Yeah, they were showing Kate later on explained that she'd had a dream that they were all there, not for her wedding, but for her mom and dad's 40th wedding anniversary.
Yeah.
So we get old man Jack.
Yep.
And it's intercut and everything. Yep.
So you think that you're like, wait a minute, is this the wedding? Because there's officiates, you know, and there's everyone's dressed up. And you're like, what is he doing here? Is this just a ghost or something? But yeah. No, it was her dream.
Well, that was the other thing, too, because that was the first thing they showed. And I was looking for when they were showing, like, Randall and his wife and kids, I thought it was Kate's wedding.
Mm.
So I was like, oh, where's Deja?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, we don't see her.
Yeah.
And then it cut to Kate sitting, waiting. Like, she wasn't in a wedding dress. It wasn't her wedding. And then That's when you see Mom. And you think, oh, this is a flashback to when Mom got married.
Right.
To Miguel. And then, nope, there's old man Jack somehow. Yeah. So it was a good misdirect.
It was. I liked it. And like you said, they basically set us up for the next season by showing us little clips of what's coming down the road.
Yeah.
So...
Oh, also, I'm sorry. I mean,
no, go right ahead.
Jumping back, Toby's parents show up. His mom and dad are divorced.
Yep.
And they basically say to him, "You shouldn't marry her. It's too soon. She's too erratic.
She's drama. She is hardcore drama.
She's drama." And just based on what you've said, and you took it so hard last time you got divorced. You know, you stayed in bed for a year. You became depressed. You da 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 da.
Yep.
We don't want to see this happen to you again.
Right.
And he basically tells them off.
Which, great people to be his parents.
Yeah. Which he basically tells them off, like, I love kids, I'm getting married, that's the end of it type of thing.
Yeah. Like, you guys aren't supporting me on this, Go fuck yourselves.
Right. And then, like you're saying, the montage.
Yeah. We see him laying in bed, Kate trying to rouse him. You know, hey, we've got an appointment. And she opens up the curtains and puts sunlight on his face. And he's just, like, catatonic.
And she made mention of, like, you know, they changed their she made mention of medication change somehow. Yeah,
so you're led to wonder, is this, you know, he's already had a heart attack.
Yeah.
What, is this the result of, like, a stroke or something? Or is this depression?
Right.
What brought it on? We see Randall and his daughter again, his oldest, who's a social worker. And he's like, okay, it's time. We got to go see her. Who are they going to see?
Right, because...
Are they going to see Mom? Are they going to see Grandma? Are they going to see the sister? Are they going to see Deja?
Right. And it doesn't seem like she wants to go.
No.
So is it Mom died? We're going to go to a funeral? Is it Deja's in jail? What is it?
Like, is she the one that we couldn't save and this is why?
Because they are intercutting that with Deja with
the bat.
Smashing the car. Mm-hmm. Then you had... Who was it that was looking at... Hold on. There's that whole scene... I think in the previous episode of The Good Night Moon, which was awesome.
Oh, yes.
Where, and I'm jumping back now to the montage real quick to the second to last episode, where Deja's grandmother is reading her Good Night Moon, or Deja's reading Good Night Moon to her mom.
Yes. Yep.
And they're cutting it with Randall reading Good Night Moon to his kids, and, you know, Randall's mom reading it to them, and then Jack reading it to his younger brother. Mm-hmm. And on and on. So that was kind of cool.
That was cool.
And then going back to the montage, I can't remember who. Was it Kevin was looking at a photo of his dad in Vietnam?
Yes. Yeah, because he was going to – because in the montage, we see him show up in Vietnam with – who was it? Randall's wife's sister or something?
Yeah, who's actually her cousin.
Yeah.
And then we see them talking too, like either at the wedding or they're on a bus plane together.
Yep.
Or something. But yeah, they show up in Vietnam. So it was Jack.
And he's looking at the picture like.
Jack's brother actually alive
right.
in Vietnam?
Right.
Was he like one of those prisoners who then got released but never came home?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Or Jack knocked someone up and they got another sibling over there?
Maybe. I doubt that. Not Jack.
He wasn't with?
That's true. That's true.
Time. So.
I think it's more he wants to understand his dad, so he's going to follow along and see where he was and. But yeah, it was very, and like you said, you know, he's with that woman.
Yeah.
So, does that mean Sophie's gone?
Sophie, exactly. Sophie's a good choice.
Ha 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 ha.
But yeah, it was good. It was a good finale.
Yep. I liked it. And it really set up the next season or so.
So I finished up Santa Clarita Diet Season 2.
I fucking love that show.
Oh my god, it's so hilarious.
It's so well written.
Yeah.
Like, we said it with the first season, I'm saying it again. It would be so easy for them to have the teenage kid who is, like, angsty and an asshole or drama-filled, you know, you guys, you ruined my life type of thing. She is so well-written. She is such a good character. Like, like, sometimes she's more adult than them. But then you have moments with her where, like, when they have the thing where they go to the principal and they're like, you know, you need to make up. You need to say you're sorry. Tell them what you did. And they're like, look, our family could be falling apart. And they have the serious moment. She's like, okay, I'm in.
Yeah.
You know, where she just like, she flips it and she's like, okay, I'm not going to be snarky now. I'm going to be, you know, such a well-created character. I love it.
I'm considering the topic is zombies.
Yeah.
In a different way. All the characters are really well-written, you know. Who the thunk Timothy Oliphant? Who played the most angriest man in the world on Deadwood, and then went on to play a really cool guy on Justified.
Don't forget that he was a really over-the-top, angry, maniacal bad guy in Die Hard. Live Free or Die Hard.
Yeah. Could play this soft-spoken, very comical, very loving and supporting character that he plays in this show.
One of my favorite lines from this whole season was when they're talking about Mr. Ball Legs, you know, the spider thing. And she's like, maybe I should thaw mine out. And he's like, no, you shouldn't. She's like, but maybe I should. And he just picks up the book and he goes, dear Lord, if I win one argument this year, please let this be the one. Like, it was such sincerity in his voice. Like, I don't care anything else. Just let me win this one argument that we don't thaw out the spider ball leg guy.
So basically, this is what we've discovered. I'm just going to surmise kind of the whole season on this one.
Here. Yes. So don't listen if you don't want to, but this is friggin' awesome.
Yeah. So at Jopopo's, they had a special clam night, and three people ordered the clams.
Yep.
And they got, like, clam soup or whatever it was. The special clam.
Clam special.
Clam special. It's Drew Barrymore's character. I can't think of her name.
Sheila.
Gerald McCraney's character. And then the Asian girl that works at the Rite Aid.
Which both of those characters were just awesome in their own way.
So those three people are the only three that had the clams.
Yep.
We find out that Jopopo's got their clams that night, not from their normal vendor, but from Ruby's Clams, a little private vendor. So we go to Ruby's Clams, and basically she has house clams in her house, which are normal. But then out back, she's breeding these tanks and thousands and thousands and thousands of these red clams.
Which she only started with like six?
Her
brother found them in Serbia in a cave off the coast.
And deep and underwater. And he because he knew I like clams and blah, blah, blah. And essentially eating these clams is what turned everyone into zombies.
Yep.
So they have to. We have to get rid of these clams. And it also caused them to throw up this ball. Which Sheila, I think there might have been four people, because remember they had the other guy in the first
episode? Yes. Yeah.
So, Sheila.
He had a weird name.
And the other guy,
it was like Fritz or something.
Right. They have their balls that they throw up frozen
in the cupboard. Just in case they ever needed them, because it was in that book, that Serbian book, they showed somebody throwing up the red ball.
And then the Rite Aid girl, she left hers out and it grew legs.
Yep.
So it's kind of like a spider.
She kept it as a pet, and it's rare.
As a pet, yep. And then. You had Gerald McCraney's character.
Who, that whole interaction was just a riot.
That was. Him. Who his was alive, and after Timothy Oliphant there, what's his name?
I want to say Greg.
I can't think of Hank. Whatever.
Anyway.
After he kills Gerald McCraney with his knife hammer.
Knife hammer!
He stomps on that his ball bugged, So, it was good.
So, yeah, and then we've got these two people, who one of them is Ponytail Guy from L.A. to Vegas.
Yeah.
And he's got a tattoo of the spider on his arm.
And he's on this is his destiny.
Yes, it's his sacred quest. And they always seem to be one step ahead or one step behind.
Yeah.
Sheila and, God, now I'm going to have to... bear with us, folks. I got to look up the name. You're probably screaming it right now, but Joel.
Joel.
Yeah. So Sheila and Joel, he's always either one step ahead or one step behind them. But, you know, like Sheila and Joel are like, we need to blow up the clams. And he happens to have a tow missile. And he blows up the clams.
Well, they're there because they're going to set them on fire.
Right.
And then Ruby arrives home, and they're trying to explain to her what's wrong. And then while they're there, the guy fires the rocket launcher and misses the first shot.
Mm-hmm.
And then they come running out to see what's going on. And then that's when he blows up the clam with the second shot.
Yep.
So the clams are destroyed.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. The clams are destroyed. And Drew Barrymore is safe. And Gerald McCraney's character is dead, which that whole scene was hilarious.
It was just so good because it could have been so terrible the way that he was like trying to sneak stuff around. He's like, you should really come down to my basement. Yeah. I've got her number on a post-it. You should see my office. I just repainted it.
Yeah.
Then he goes to shake his hand and just pulls all the skin right off.
I realize how creepy that sound. Just wait here.
And the Danish. Everything was about that. You should eat the Danish.
Yeah. Have a bite of the Danish.
We've also got Eric, the nerdy kid from next door,
yes,
who is, you know, over-the-top stepfather. They, of course, ate in the last season, killed him and ate him.
Right.
Eric's been helping them out, and he continues to help them out and do a great job. He finally gets laid from the little Asian girl from Rite Aid.
Who is also a zombie killer.
Yep. But I love
her. She left at the end, right?
She left midway through.
Okay, but she didn't get killed by those other people.
They showed up, but she said she was going to head to Seattle to try to make her way, which is awesome because it probably has nothing to do with it, but in iZombie, that's where the zombie outbreak is right now, is in Seattle.
Oh, God, that's
funny. So I'd love it if there was a tie-in, but anyway. She said that she was an auctioneer, and she was very high energy and energetic and happy and peppy all the time, and it just didn't feel like her, so now she can finally be her normal self, which is droning on and very monotone. And
oh, that's right. They established that the becoming the zombie made you the opposite of what you were.
Yeah, it made you who you really wanted to be. So, like, Sheila went from being demure and really outgoing.
Too, yeah.
And let's not forget Gary.
So, there's this development, and they discover that this development that they want to be able to have the right to sell the land on, this and that, whatever, is where they buried Gary. So they go dig up Gary, played by Nathan Fillion, and they find out that Gary's head is still alive because he's become a zombie.
Because Sheila scratched him.
They didn't kill the brain.
Right.
Yeah. And
so, but it's just his head.
It's just his head, yeah. And it is hilarious because he's like, hey, guys, what's up? And he goes from being the arrogant douchebag who inappropriately touched women all the time to being like, super nice, just the opposite of who he was. Mm-hmm. Complete opposite, you know?
A good person.
Good person, caring, you know, I don't want to die now.
Right.
And on and on and on. And it was just really, really, really hilarious.
So first they keep him in the basement, but then, you know, Abby finds him in the basement.
I love it when Abby opens the cupboard and he's like, hey, how's it going? And he just goes, I don't have time for this.
Yep.
And closes it and walks off.
So then they move him to one of their other storage units because they've set aside one storage unit for storage and one storage unit for a kill room.
It's a kill room. Yeah, this is very Dexter-ish.
Oh, my God. The writing is what makes this show so good. The quippy one-liners, the banter, seeing Chris and Krista and then their son Christian, Joel McHale, and the girl there, Maggie, I can't even remember her name.
That's
but they were so friggin' good. And coincidentally, that week that this came out, that next episode of the Joel McHale show on Netflix, Joel McHale had those two on the show as his guest stars.
Oh, that's funny.
And Timothy Olyphant was doing things, you know, where he'd be like, blah, 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 blah. And then you look in the camera and be like, Deadwood. And they'd be like, oh, there's a plug for you. I think that it would be justified. But so that was really funny. But they make that kill room and Sheila discovers throughout all of this because they try to help Gary because his niece, was it?
Yeah.
It was like his niece. He'd always taken care of her and her baby. He wanted to will them this property. It was like a beach house or something like that. It was all paid for and he wanted them to live there. Yeah.
But she loved it.
Yep. And she had been there as a kid. And she's like, well, I can't go because she had to get her car back from her ex-boyfriend.
Who won't give it back to
her. Right. So they go over there. They're like, well, we'll help out. So they go over there and they find out he is a Nazi.
Yeah.
And big in a Nazi memorabilia. And Sheila's like, oh, this is great. I could kill a Nazi. And they're like, his friends come in and they're selling raffle tickets for their softball team. She's like, got the whole picture of him. She's like,
there's a whole team of Nazis?
Yeah. So that's why they set up the kill room. Yeah. And they lure him there in one of the funniest exchanges on that show. They say that there's Nazi memorabilia and it's in a trunk. And like you walk in, it's just plastic everywhere. But they set up like a fruit basket and a little torch to make it look homier. And
he brought a friend
who's in a wheelchair. Who's okay. In a wheelchair.
And he's in a wheelchair. And and then when they say, you know, we just, you know, you people, what, wheelchair people? And I love how the Nazi wheelchair guy takes all offense that you're discriminating against me because I'm in a wheelchair.
Yes.
Like you're some kind of Jew. And
right. And you're worse than my Jew landlord.
Yeah, exactly. Like it was just...
And
so hilarious.
Because they were like, we can't do this. You know, he's in a wheelchair and they're having a moral dilemma. And they literally say, you know, we'll have a philosophical discussion about this later, talking to each other. And then they're like, no, we want to see what's in there, blah, blah, blah. And it's at one point the guy in the wheelchair just looks at her and he makes a comment about her gypsy cunt nose.
Yes.
And she just turns and looks at him. The elephant goes, I mean, and he just like nods his head. He's like, come over here. I want to talk to you. And the other guy, she just rips apart the guy in the wheelchair, just shreds him. It was just the way she looks at him. She's like, I mean, okay, go ahead.
And then through all of this, Eric's mother has discovered that she apparently is a lesbian.
Bisexual, at least.
And she's fallen for another sheriff's deputy.
Yep.
Who is a woman.
Yep.
And she's very religious. What else has she been in? I recognized her.
Oh,
I meant to look it
up. She's been in a bunch of stuff, but yeah, I didn't.
But she's very religious. And she really wants to get to know them. And she's piecing all this together.
Yes.
She like has everything, but she's missing something. You know, the ability to say it. She's presented this stuff to her bosses and no one believes her. And on and on. And then like she had everything she needed that she finally was able to put together, and Homicide was going to start looking into it. And then they decided to take Gary, who's still alive, and leave a voicemail message for Eric's stepdad.
Yes.
Which they're able to smuggle into the closet with all his old stuff locked up in it. Or it's a current voicemail with Gary saying, like, hey, I got the stuff. I'll meet you down in Mexico, blah, blah, blah.
Which was fun watching him riff on that, too.
Oh,
because, again,
God.
It's Nathan Fillion.
He kept doing it over and over again on purpose, like horrible mistake, horrible.
Laughing and going, no, I got it this time. I'll be serious.
I think this is probably one of my favorite Nathan Fillion characters of all time.
Oh, yeah.
Him as the head of Gary. And so, essentially, when she gets that voicemail message, she realizes that her whole case is shot. And she presents it to her boss and everything, and it proves that Gary and Stan are still alive. However, she notices in the voicemail there's a chain of bracelets, and it's the same noise of the bracelets that Sheila just gave her,
mm-hmm.
because they were getting ready to flee, and then they realized they didn't have to.
But as they were getting ready to flee, they made up a story about how they were giving away their earthly possessions.
Yes.
So as they're packing them, she's like, oh, well, I'll take this toaster oven, and I'll take your clothes and that guitar. And
yeah.
Yeah. So they lost a bunch of their stuff.
They did indeed. So when they realize they don't have to leave, they then go, all right, well, we got to go kill Gary like we promised, because now Gary wants to die.
Right.
So they go out to the desert, and they're going
to... Don't forget the... Not to cut you off, but when the sheriff was piecing this stuff together, she did it through paintings.
Oh, yeah.
So she had, like, the picture of Dan's thumb that she found in the backyard. And the suspicious neighbor, and it's Timothy Oliphant sitting there with his weird smile, and he's standing next to the painting, and she gave it to him to hang in his house.
Plus, like, was it Dan or Stan, whatever, his missing person poster.
Yes.
And other things.
Yeah.
And so they're out in the desert now. And they're having a little ceremony, and they're gonna kill Gary, and then neither one of them can bring themselves to do it. And at the same time, their daughters decided that there's a fracking development going on, and they're gonna go blow up the trailer to the fracking development. So this is where her well-roundedness is getting her view of the world is getting a little skewed because of mom and dad's actions.
Right, yes.
And Eric's going to help her because he doesn't want her to get hurt.
And they finally have their first kiss.
And they have their first legit kiss, yeah.
Which was nice. It was nice to see it happen. They didn't make a big deal out of it.
Exactly. So, again, they're gonna kill Gary, and then neither one of them can bring themselves to do it because he's become Joel's best friend, and he's just
someone Joel can talk to.
Yeah, and can understand him what he's going through. Earlier in the episode, when she talks about, I fed Gary some pieces of that Serbian. It just fell right out of his neck into the bottom of the vase, but he looked really happy while he was chewing it.
Oh my god, it was so great.
So anyway, so they're trying to, and then that's when the sheriff shows up.
Yep.
And she's like, I knew you guys were doing this. I can't believe it. You know, and she's got them at gunpoint. And they've covered Gary's head up since then. And they've got them, they've got her at gunpoint. She's got him at gunpoint. And she's basically like, get down. I'm going to, you're under arrest. Da, 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 da. And so Drew Barrymore's character is like, she's not going to shoot me. She's not going to shoot us. Yes, she is. I will certainly shoot you. No, she's not really going to shoot. I will certainly shoot you. I have no problem with that. And then Drew Barrymore starts walking towards her, and she shoots her.
Right in the gut.
And she's like, she shot me. I can't believe it. Well, why aren't you? I'm dead. I'm not alive. I died. I came back. I'm eating people, yes.
Yep.
But I'm only eating bad people, okay? Right. I'm not eating any good people, just bad people.
But they spin it. To that she died and came back like Christ.
Well, they didn't spin it.
Oh, that's right.
The sheriff did.
She did that first part, and then they ran with it.
Right. And then she's like, "Wait a second. You mean you've risen from the dead like Christ? Yes. Well, can you prove it? Well, you can shoot me again. Wham!
Yeah. Shoots her again. Doesn't hesitate.
Okay. Stop shooting me now. So wait, you've risen and you're doing God's work. Da da da. Yeah, that's what I'm doing. I still don't know if I believe you. And then that's when he goes, really? Well, look who she rose from the dead. And they pull out Gary's head and he's like, hi.
Well, at first he just sits there like a dead head. Yeah. Like he's just like, and then he goes, hi.
And then she's like, oh my God, you really are. I love him. He just goes, I guess if that's what we're going with, this is actually working. No, no, if that's what you actually want to believe.
Yep.
So it was just hilarious.
And then she's like, if this is true and you are truly doing God's work and you are truly here and I'm supposed to serve you, give me a sign. And right at that moment is when they blow up the trailer, the big mushroom cloud, she falls on her knees, and that's where it ends.
And it's like, okay, I didn't see it ending this way.
No.
So now she's not going to investigate them anymore. Nope. She's probably going to be devout to them.
A little too much, too.
Probably, too. It'll be over the top.
Oh, yes.
Because now she's doing God's work.
Yep.
And I don't think they're going to kill Gary, so hopefully we get Nathan Fillion, you know. For another season. Hopefully nothing happened to the daughter or Eric during the explosion.
These characters are so well done. It's insane. Like, beyond just her being undead, they are still realtors. Not realtors. As we determined, it's not a real word. But they're still realtors. They're still a loving husband and wife. You know, and they have the humorous banter back and forth, which is some of the best I've seen on TV in forever.
Yeah.
But they also have these tender moments where they're like, you know, no, I'll go to jail. You know, let me go to jail. You need to be out here taking care. You're better at taking care of the kid. You know, no, I'll take care of it. It's my problem. I got into this. I'll go to jail. They're heartfelt. They really care about each other. They care about each other as a family, as lovers, etc. It's such a great show.
And Drew Barrymore's character, Sheila, she has been very selfish. She's kind of two seasons about herself because that's what I think the undead part of her was made her be.
Yep.
And she acknowledges that in a big way through this season and is like, I need to work harder to not be as selfish. I mean, it's hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, when they told their daughter that their family, that them being together as a family may be threatened because of this, that's when she's even like, oh, we got to snap too then.
Yep.
Because if there's one thing that we're good at, it's we're a family.
Yep.
And it's not overdone like Fast and the Furious family.
No, no. We got one nice little episode where Sheila basically showed up to her dick boss's, you know, he wasn't supposed to be there for the presentation, and he showed up, and she's like squeezing the stress ball, and she's like trying not to stress out, and then all of a sudden it just flashes to nighttime. And instead of a stress ball, she's got a human heart, and she's covered in blood and doesn't remember anything that happened, so we get to go retrace her steps, which was hilarious. It was so much fun to watch. How she killed the Nazi at the – she's like, look, even when I'm out of control, I'm neat and I'm tidy. She's like, sloppily washing the water out of the driveway.
And look, and I knew I shouldn't kill anyone besides the Nazi.
Yes. The dog took off with his leg.
No, with her boot.
Her boot, that's right.
Yeah.
Yep.
I was. It was a great series.
It really was. I can't wait for the third season. I'm sure that they'll have another one. But.
I watched the final 9 episodes of Money Heist.
Oh, wow. There were that many left?
Well, they had the original...
Oh, that's right. You said that they were coming
13 up. Episodes. Yep. And then last Friday, they dropped the other 9. And I watched all those on Monday. So technically...
So now it's done?
It's done.
The heist was moneyed?
The moneyed was heisted. And it's fantastic.
Yeah.
It really is. There's great drama. There's great thrilling. There's some suspense. Not thrilling. There's drama. There's suspense. There's great story. I mean, excellent dialogue and storyline. Great stories. Just really, really good top to bottom. I know some people have a hard time watching anything in subtitled or anything that's not in English. But I'm telling you. You got to watch this in original European Spanish and just watch it with the subtitles. Because I'll just, I may have said this last week, I may not, I don't know. But when you're watching a really dramatic scene and you're hearing the actors, even if they're speaking a different language, you're hearing them react dramatically because they're in that scene. So you're getting all the passion with which they're delivering their lines and everything else, as opposed to somebody who's in a sound recording booth reading from script,
right?
You know, watching it, like maybe they're a great actor, but you're not going to get the same type of passion and delivery and everything that needs to
absolutely
have a good dramatic or action or comedy scene or whatever it is. And so yeah, you got to watch it in the original European Spanish and English subtitles if you, you know, can't speak Spanish. And yeah, it was excellent.
Nice.
22 episodes. Really, really well done. A lot of emotion involved in the show, and a lot of it's definitely like a human game of chess or whatever it is between the kidnappers and the police and one-upsmanship. And you know, you find yourself going like, "What are you doing? Don't do that!" You know, like it's just
¿Dónde está?
Yeah, it's just it's really, really good.
Thanks.
I give it a really hard sell.
I'll add that one to my list.
I give it a really hard sell.
It's right on Netflix, you said, right?
It's right on Netflix, all 22 episodes now. And they're about the second season of 9 episodes, they're about 40 minutes apiece. Mm-hmm. The first season's 40 to 50. Essentially what it is the original series run was 15 episodes in Spain when it was filmed. And with each episode there was like 70 plus minutes long. And Netflix went and re-edited them to make from 15 to 22 and then shorten the episodes.
Gotcha.
But it all evens out. They didn't cut anything out important that I could figure out. And there are times when you're watching it and the episode ends and that was a clear-cut ending. And there's other times when you're watching it and you're like, oh, I bet you the episode would have ended there, but instead we're only halfway through this one, so it's still going.
I gotcha.
Yeah, but it doesn't hurt anything.
Right.
They did a really good job with the editing, and a lot of people can take 40 minutes of a subtitled thing, you know, take it in smaller doses than they can in longer, so yep. That might help. But yeah, I give it a hard sell.
On a educational note,
yeah.
Everything that I've read recently says that if you want to learn a second language, one of the best things that you can do is flip over your TV or your Netflix or whatever to like Spanish with subtitles. And it helps immerse you in it much more than just sitting there and listening and, you know, doing you can do the apps and stuff like that. But they said that if you start immersing yourself by watching all your TV, they were also talking about video games in my example, but, you know, listen to it all in the language that you want to learn. It actually helps with retention a lot better. So that's another plus if people are learning a language.
Well, there you go then. Let's see. I did watch two movies last week I forgot to talk about.
Okay.
I'd forgotten to write them on my list. I remembered now. And I'm not – one was Rings, which was back in like 2002 we got The Ring.
Yeah.
The Japanese horror movie that Ringu that they made Americanized, yeah. And then we had Ring 2, mm-hmm. And then now came out last year, I believe, or the year before. It's Rings, And essentially, this movie is a direct sequel to The Ring and ignoring what happened in Ring 2.
Okay.
This movie also
sucks.
Is terrible.
Okay. So
there's that. And then the other movie I watched was Resident Evil, The Final Chapter.
Oh, okay.
And that movie was at least one chapter too long.
I believe it.
Did you watch it?
Nope. I think I stopped watching after, like, the third movie. I watched the first one, and I was like, boy, this is nothing like Resident Evil the game.
Yeah.
Huh. And then I watched the second one, and went, boy, they're just making crappy action movies and slapping the Resident Evil title on there. Yeah. And then I watched the third one, and went, why am I still wasting my time with this? I'm going to the theater for this. I'm paying good money and wasting my time.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, no, it's weak sauce.
Yeah.
I'll just think of that.
Like I said, I watched a couple movies. I watched that Netflix one, Game Over Man.
Oh, yeah, how was it?
No, it was bad. I wanted it to be good. Like, they had a lot of good stars or cameos in there. Like, you know, it's set up to be like a Die Hard kind of thing. Yep. You know, these three guys are the – they keep calling them maids, but they're housekeeping
right
in this hotel. And Daniel Stern is the boss of the hotel.
Yep.
His number two right-hand person is Gretchen from You're the Worst.
Yep.
These three guys are from Workaholics and a bunch of other stuff.
Yeah.
The security guard in the parking garage is the cigarette smoking man. Now I'm like, oh, this is going to be great.
That's cool.
Yeah. Yeah. He gets killed in like 5 seconds and dumped in a dumpster. The main bad guy is Damien Dark, and Rona Mitra is his right hand. And, you know, there's all these people that I'm like, wow, you know, Joel McHale is in there as Joel McHale.
Nice.
Donald Faison is in there as Donald Faison. So there's a lot of people, but it's basically just, goofy, stupid stoner movie, you know. I didn't hate it, but I really didn't enjoy it that much. It was annoying more than anything, so I don't recommend it. If you're high and you want to enjoy something that's going to make you go, cool, you know, if go for it. But otherwise, there were a lot of dick jokes. I mean, at one point, Daniel Stern gets his dick cut off.
Oh, come on.
And then he throws it at someone.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
That's too bad, because you said when you started watching it, I thought it started out well.
It did.
Yeah.
Like, I was all excited, because I stopped just after I saw The Cigarette Smoking Man and Damien Dark and Rhoda Mitra, and I'm like, oh, this is going to be great. And then it was, you know, instead of robbing Nakatomi Plaza of the bear bonds there, yeah, like a Die Hard, they were robbing this guy who's an out of country, like he's from the Middle East or something, and he's an Instagram star. So automatically you hate him. That's his claim to fame, is he's an Instagram star. So yeah, I don't really recommend it. The other one that I'm really disappointed with,
yep,
The Little Hours. Do you remember seeing the previews for this one? Alison Brie, Kate Micucci, Aubrey Plaza, The Nuns.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, it was awful.
Really?
I was so disappointed. Like, the previews made it look really comical.
Yes, it did.
It was terrible.
Really?
It was terrible. Like, I'm watching it, and I'm like, when is this going to get funny? Even the parts in the previews that were really funny, when they're presented in the movie, you're like, oh, this is god-awful. Like, they basically live in this convent way back in the day, and they all hate the gardener. He's like, they're mean to him. They just go out there, and they're like, hey, don't fucking look at us. Why are you fucking looking at us, you fucking asshole? And they're, like, throwing stuff at him and beating him. So he quits. And then, meanwhile, there's this castle where, what's his name? Ron Swanson,
yeah,
is the lord of the castle, and his wife is having an affair with Dave Franco, who's one of the serving guys there. So Dave Franco, he's found out, so he runs away, and he ends up at the convent and becomes – he's hiding under the guise that he's a deaf mute. And now the nuns, like, some of them are having sex with him, and Aubrey Plaza is actually a witch, and she's got a friend who's a witch, and they're doing witchcraft out in the woods. And Kate Micucci likes women, she realizes. And dude, it's just not fun.
Would you watch this on
Hulu? It's just not enjoyable. Like, I kept watching it, and I watched all the way through it. I'm like, something has to be good, and it didn't.
You know what sucks about that? It's like the second – I like Aubrey Plaza, and this is the second film of hers that you've watched that you've told me sucks.
Yeah.
The other one was –
Ingrid Goes West.
Ingrid Goes West, yeah.
Yeah, I don't recommend this movie at all, and I'm disappointed because I really expected with those stars – you know, Aubrey Plaza was even a producer on this. Like, this was one of her things.
Yeah.
And it just wasn't enjoyable. So, yeah, I don't recommend that to
anybody.
What was
it called again?
The Little Hours. John C. Reilly is the priest. Molly Shannon is the Mother Superior.
That's too bad.
It is. Like, if you have morbid curiosity and you're like, I wonder if it's really that bad, you could check it out. But it was not enjoyable at all. Like, I kept – there was no real humor, yeah, but there also wasn't any real drama.
Yeah.
It was just bad.
That sucks.
Yeah. I don't know.
You know, I did watch a trailer this week.
As did I.
I watched it's a trailer for the new Purge movie that comes out this July.
Oh, the first Purge?
Yeah, it's based on it's about the first Purge. And I can't say if it blew me away or not. I just was like, I'm going to watch it anyways. I've seen the other Purge movies. I haven't hated it.
Not in the theater.
No, I've never seen them in the theater, but I'll watch it at some point, yeah.
I saw the new extended trailer for Solo.
Yeah.
This made me want to see the movie.
Oh, okay.
So the first trailer really did, like, it wasn't like, oh, I don't want to see that, but it didn't do anything to sell me on it, really. Yeah. This one made me want to see it.
Good.
We actually got a speaking role from Lando. We got banter between Han and Chewie, you know, where he's like, wait, you're 190 years old? You look great for your age, type of thing. And it looks much more enjoyable than the first trailer made it look out to be.
Oh, good.
Yeah. So I was excited. And then I'm sitting there at work, and I start hearing one of our coworkers, Sarah, squealing. And I'm like, I know what she's watching. And I see her, like, shaking her legs.
Yeah.
And she gets all done, and I go, you just watched Solo, didn't you? Oh, my God, it looks so good. I was like, yeah, I knew you just watched that, the way that you were reacting. But, yeah.
I can't wait to go watch that.
Yeah.
I was going to go watch it even before.
Yeah.
In this new trailer. I haven't watched a new trailer yet. I'm probably going to pass.
If you're already sold on it, I would say pass.
Well, but, you know, honestly, I was going to go see it no matter what.
Yep. Thought it was a dog growling.
No, it's just me.
Okay. So you were going to go see it no matter what.
Yeah, I was going to see it no matter what in the theater. Just keep that tradition alive with my son.
Yeah.
With all the new Star Wars movies.
It's a good tradition.
Yeah. Hey, I'm hoping that I'm healed up enough I can make it to Infinity War later this month.
Mm, that's true, yeah.
But if I'm not, I'm not.
Yep.
Is what it is.
And then Deadpool 2 after that.
Yeah. Same thing there.
Yeah.
All right. I think that's everything for me. Cool. On the old Twitterverse, you can find me at SuperstarML.
I'm the Quantum Geek, G33K.
The show is at What Did You Watch? And Facebook is What Did You Watch This Week? And thanks.
Thanks, everybody. We'll talk to you next week or so.